Hello, friends. Welcome to Listening Well with me, Stephanie. This week, I'm going to give you a Buddhist perspective on the first noble truth, which is on pain and suffering. Suffering is a human condition. It's really our birthright to suffer in some way, shape, or form. I don't think I know of a single person who has never suffered at all or has lived in a state of constant happiness and bliss. It just seems impossible. If you scan all the people you know or love or have met in your life, I bet you can't find anyone that has not endured some kind of pitfall or emotional or physical collapse. It's part of our experience of being human. In this episode, I'll be sharing with you a little bit about the concept of suffering from a Buddhist perspective and how 2,500 years later, after the time of the Buddha, we can still relate to the experience of suffering, probably more so now in our modern-day world. For those of you who don't know the story of the Buddha, or Siddhartha Gautama, which was his birth name, and how he came to be the enlightened one in the first place, I'll take you back about 500 BC. Siddhartha was born into nobility. His father was the king of the Shakya clan, where he ran his beautiful kingdom at the foothills of the Himalayas. And if you have been to the Himalayan region, you'll know that it is just a place of sheer immense beauty. The energy up there is so powerful, so palpable, you can't help but believe that a higher power exists in this world. It is said that about 12 years before the Buddha was born, an astrologer or someone who could see into the future, a Brahmin of sorts, told the king that his future son will either be born a great king or a wise sage. The king obviously wanted him to continue the legacy, and so when he was eventually born, he did everything to confine him to the life of luxury. I mean, he was given it all. He was trained in all kinds of sports like archery, swordsmanship, wrestling, swimming, and his father even adorned him and surrounded him with all the ladies that he wanted. He was literally living a life of ease, a life of quality. When he came of age, he did eventually get married and have a son. Yet amidst all the abundance or what was seemingly enough, it just wasn't for him. He felt like something was missing, that life wasn't about the luxuries and pleasures. While the king did everything to try and shield his son from the world of suffering that was happening outside, he decided to rebel and asked his charioteer to take him into the city. And this journey would be one that would change his life and ours today forever. On the way to the city, he saw an old person, a sick person, a dead corpse being taken to the burning grounds, and even came in contact with a spiritual leader. He was not ready to endure this experience, and in fact affected him so much that he left his wife and son in the middle of the night, cut off all his hair, and rode into the forest to pursue an ascetic life. And really, the rest is history. Through the remaining decades of his life, he met a whole bunch of people who also had left society to find liberation. And one of his first realizations were the very foundations of Buddhism, the Four Noble Truths that we know today. The first of which articulates what this episode is really all about: pain and suffering. The First Noble Truth states that all life, everything in existence, is characterized by the Pali word dukkha, which means suffering. It states that we must accept that there will be unpleasantness that comes our way, that unsatisfactoriness is part of our human experience, that happiness will eventually turn into pain. And if we try to deflect these feelings of pain or cling tightly to it, suffering will continue to pursue. And, you know, when we think of suffering, it can take all kinds of shapes, right? It can be as subtle as, oh man, this food tastes horrible, or I don't really like the color of the sweater that I just bought. Really, really general and really shallow. But it can also be quite significant and at times severe, like illness and the death of a loved one, or mental torment that we sometimes face, or I should probably say all of us commonly do face, such as divorce and life circumstances, some sort of inner child healing that you're still working on that's creating mental distress in your adulthood, right? There's a lot of forms of suffering. But to really understand suffering, to understand dukkha, we must recognize that so much of what happens in our life happens out of our control, that change is bound to happen, and thus the attachment to whatever is making us happy in this moment should also be one that doesn't cling so tightly. The Buddha famously said, "I teach one thing, suffering and the end of suffering, the sensation of suffering, for all beings." And, you know, he is really a walking example of it. He was born into royalty, having all the possessions and things that you think would make someone happy forever. Yet, it wasn't enough. So, despite your age or your youthfulness, your wealth, your socioeconomic status, gender, race, whatever, it doesn't matter. You can't escape suffering. And really, it's the denial, this idea that if I have this, then I'll be happy, that keeps us imprisoned. It keeps us trapped in the loop of pain that we experience and often drives us to a place that is harder to recover from the older that we get. I think about our children sometimes and the cultures that really place so much burden and expectation on our kids. In some very strict cultures where grades and school are the utmost of importance, we are literally ingraining in our kids' minds that if you don't make it to an Ivy League school, you have failed. And so from a very early start, that burden has already bred shame, guilt, literally ingraining the fact that we are not enough. So much of our pain comes from this belief that we're not enough. I can definitely say that many of my own insecurities stem from the fact that I think I could do better. I'm so hard on myself sometimes, and I really thank my friends for reminding me when I am, because I don't really think that I am hard on myself in the moment, but when it is reminded to me and when I zoom out and think of it from an external view, I do scratch my head and go, maybe I am. Time to be kind to yourself now, Steph. The relationship we build with pain and suffering will determine how content and liberated we feel. It is our attitude towards the suffering we experience that really determines the quality of our life. To quote the Dalai Lama, pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. And so, we must become non-judgmental and accepting to those painful moments that come our way. We must open up to it, invite them in. And, you know, this can be very, very difficult sometimes, because if we think of the second noble truth, which I won't get too much into today, it's trying to explore what the origin of our suffering is. And I think that this is where I am and on my path to liberation is, why is it that I suffer? And exploring that, whether it is through therapy or other modalities, but then trying to be kind to yourself throughout that process. I'm a bit more curious now when I do have a moment where things aren't going well for me, when emotions arise. I ask myself questions like, what can I learn from this twinge I feel inside? What light will shine through this crack? What lessons can I learn so that I can grow to be the best person I possibly know I can be? I do feel like if we proceed with this genuine curiosity towards why we feel the way we feel sometimes, we're less likely to get lost in the swamp of judgment that came from the experience, oftentimes this judgment we place upon ourselves. So comprehend the suffering. Try not to escape from it. I am notorious, and I see it oftentimes. I know I have escaped from my own moments when things got hard, and it really did impair my spiritual growth. It almost put a pause on it. I mean, I moved to Bali when things got hard almost a decade ago, thinking that maybe if I move to Bali, things will be all of a sudden better. I ended up moving back to Singapore only to face the same things and the same monsters that I had confronted before I had left. So there are no shortcuts. You just have to go through it. The greatest cause of suffering are really our attachments to pleasure, things, people, and situations. Sometimes we stay so attached to a set of concepts that were designed to boost our own sense of security, so that when it ultimately falls apart, so do we. There's no space when we cling to something or someone, and the pain we experience when change does inevitably come our way can be overwhelming. So I invite you to explore ways to try to unbind yourself to the pain that you experience, to practice a little non-attachment when you start to feel like your world is falling apart. Because when non-attachment is felt, when acceptance is felt as well, that this is just the way of life, then opens up an opportunity for genuine spiritual growth. Thank you for listening well. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions for me or would like to get in contact with me, please do message me on our Instagram at listeningwellpodcast. You can also visit our website to listen to our previous episodes, and the website is just listed in the show notes below. Thanks for listening well, and I'll see you next week.